Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Not that I'm going to take the mickey out of him again tonight about the jocks. Well, yes I am. Be a cracker tonight, it really is. A local cancer survivor has paddled 120 miles in a canoe with a host of household names to fund vital clinical research and treatments for patients of the disease. And guess what? She's here in the studio to tell us the story. Carla Bradbury makes her very first trip to Sport Towers. And if the talk before the show is anything to go by, it's going to be a cracker. But she's told us not to mention the deep heat. And of course that means we will. After another fantastic weekend of running, our panel of experts had a very difficult job in choosing our runner of the week. Who did they pick? Find out at 7:20. And we take a look at what's happening this weekend, and I think it's the busiest weekend I can ever remember in the wonderful, wacky world of Newark Sport. I'm Mick Bradley, he's Tony Smith, and you are listening to Radio Newark Sport on your wireless. Well, they got knocked out of the World Cup, and now they've lost the manager. I don't know, Mr. Smith. Or is it Mr. McSmith?
Oh, it's still McSmith.
I mean, you've nailed, so you've got to stay with them. We're going to talk about the demise of Mr. Strachan in a few moments, and we're also, Tony, going to talk about this ongoing saga between Middlesex and Somerset. On which one of them's going to end up relegated. And me thinks that's probably going to the courts. I'll tell you a bit more about that one in a few minutes after the local headlines. And a busy week for our runners. Saw yellow and orange shirts here, there, yes, and literally everywhere. Three Striders did the York Marathon, while six more took part in that city's 10-mile race. While just down the road in Sheffield, Zara Carter did the night marathon. Beth Webster did the survival of the fittest at Nottingham, while Chris Redhead was in Peterborough for the Great Eastern Half. Breeze Rowlands and Nikki Dales were trail running, and Mara Brambles was doing the Oxford Half. And we told you last night, Adam Odden's going to surpass everybody, assuming he can find Stonehenge. Bets are open on that one.
This is Radio Newark Sport.
So, 3 days after the demise of Scotland, Mr. Strachan has left his position as their manager by mutual consent. The decision taken in conjunction with the Scottish FA Board followed two failed qualification campaigns. Strachan and his assistant Mark McGee have stepped down with immediate effect, and the board would like to thank him for their excellent service to the national team before they booted them out. Mr. Smith.
Yes.
I'm not sure where to begin. A serious head-on. Scotland's world ranking doesn't see them go to the World Cup finals. The world ranking, they are not good enough to go to the World Cup finals. Mm. The fact that the only way they're not going at least into the playoffs is by goal difference, I think, was an excellent effort. And the fact they're undefeated in six or seven games is an excellent effort by a Scottish team. but the manager's taking the fall for it. I don't see what more he could have done with the players he's got.
He actually offered to resign 10 games ago after the shocking start to the Group F campaign. But, you know, they turned him down on that occasion. And then, as you say, he's produced a fantastic run. Something like 14 points out of a possible 15. And then gets the boot.
So what they're going to do now, now they've got a role going, what they're going to do now is start right at the beginning again. And the names in the frame at the moment are David Moyes and Big Sam. Give me a break. Where is either of them two? And he manager record is nowhere near as good as Strachan's.
Yeah. I think it's very, very sad. But on this occasion, I think mutual consent might well be the right one, because I think Strachan's had enough.
But if he was backed 100% to the hilt, the players back him, even the pundits back him. If the board totally come out and backed him, I'm sure he'll still be there. But Scotland's problem, Tony, is the same as England's problem. We're not good enough. We won't win anything while they fill our divisions with second-rate foreign players instead of giving our guys... When Scotland was last great, Dalgleish, McGrain, Strachan, you know, Archie Gemmell, John McGovern, John O'Ware, any Forest player you can mention that's Scottish.
Okay, Billy Bremner, Gordon McLean,
No,
David Harvey.
No. And Celtic played Rangers or Aberdeen or Dundee United. There was full of Scottish players wanting to play for that shirt. And when they put the Scotland shirt on, crack, they did want to do well. That's all gone now because they're not playing for the clubs, and the clubs are not giving him an opportunity. And that's the same in this country. The guy that we played in the last match, Harry Winks, I'm sure is very good. He's played 4 games for Tottenham. Yes, if he's good enough, he should play for England. 4 games for your club and you're an England international in this country? Come on.
But the reason for my love affair with Scotland is because I grew up supporting Leeds United, and half the team were Scottish. They used to play Scotland versus England games on the training ground.
Dirty Leeds.
It was very, very physical in those training
matches.
Well,
it would do if it's Leeds United and Don Revie. It wouldn't be physical. It wouldn't be football, would it? Let's be honest.
But, you know, the...
I just think it's totally the wrong move, because they've got to start that cycle all over again.
But if you look at the Scottish Premiership squads, the 12 squads, it's full of second, third-rate foreigners.
Yes. And that's where your problem lies.
Yeah.
The guys are not getting the chance to play competitive, top-quality football, and that's the only thing that's going to make them better. Simple as. If Big Sam gets the job, all that Strachan's taught him about passing the ball will go out the window, because it's got to be lumped 60 yards.
I mean, David Moyes, at least he's Scottish, and at least he had a good track record at Everton.
You mean he took him from a middle-of-the-road Premier Division side to a middle-of-the-road Premier Division side?
No, he did very, very well.
He didn't. He kept him where he was. He didn't do anything.
But with Everton, as has been shown in the Premiership table at the moment...
Premier Division, Premiership's rugby. I'm not a sports editor. Carry on. Yes, it's a Premier League and a Premiership.
Yeah.
You said Premiership for football. You're wrong.
You said Premier Division.
It is the Premier Division. And it's the Premier League, or Premier League and Premiership. Anyway.
EPL.
EPL. Yeah, righto. Right, cricket.
Thank God.
Somerset are preparing to take legal action against England and Wales Cricket Board should Middlesex's appeal over a points deduction be successful. Middlesex were relegated to Division 2 after finishing 1 point below Somerset. They were docked 2 points for a slow over rate during the game against Surrey in August, which was abandoned when a crossbow bolt was fired onto the oval. A decision on Middlesex's appeal could be made by the ECB next week. I bet they're really loving this. In a statement, the Somerset chief executive said, "We're confident of the decision of the ECB is one which will stand. However, as a precautionary measure, we've instructed a leading London-based law firm to prepare our case." So,
but the appeal was being heard
at Lords.
At Lords.
Where did Middlesex play?
Lords.
Yeah. Okay.
What chance has Somerset got with that?
None at all.
So it has to go to the courts, doesn't it?
The trouble is, I feel sorry for both. I do feel sorry for Middlesex. You have penalised on a slow overrate on the day, but the day wasn't completed. They could have put two spinners on for the last hour, and then the slow overrate wouldn't have come into it.
But I think it had to be abandoned once the crossbar.
Yes, it had to be abandoned. Yeah, I'm not knocking that.
No, stay up there, lads. You'll be all right.
To me, it should have been abandoned. Full stop. End of story.
Yeah.
But just doing for a slow overrate before they had the chance to finish their allotted time for those overs. I'm sorry, but it's not right.
And if it goes to the law courts, most people in law courts are MCC members, aren't they?
I don't know what you're saying. Right.
Good luck, Somerset.
Enough of me and you. Carla Bradbury. It's from Staythorpe. So you're by the river.
Yeah.
Carla, good evening. Welcome to Radio Newark. So pleased that you could come along and you picked up our little message and you've come to us to tell us your story.
Yeah.
So before we're going to talk about the canoeing after 7:30, in this sort of 5-minute slot, tell us a bit about yourself, because what led up to you doing this canoeing challenge was something that everybody absolutely dreads, but...
Yeah.
You're here, you're smiling, and you've done this. But what was... Just tell us what happened to you.
5 years ago, I started getting tummy aches and pains. And following on from investigations at the doctors and the hospitals, Newark Hospital and Kingsmill Hospital, I was diagnosed with cervical cancer, which was staged at 3B. And that meant that it was too large and in an awkward position for it to be operated on. And the only way they could do anything to try and get rid of it was intensive radio and chemotherapy at City Hospital in Nottingham. And that's what I did. I started on a course of treatment over several weeks up at City Hospital. And they gave me the maximum dosage of radiotherapy that they could. I had internal radiotherapy at the end as well, to try and break the tumour down and reduce the size of the tumour. They gave me a 50% chance of long-term control. So when I read that in the report, that was a little bit frightening. And I often say when I got the result that I got the all clear, I often say I was lucky, and people say I'm a hero and I'm positive and I'm this and I'm that, and it comes down to the work of the oncologists and the consultants that I saw and the treatment that they were able to give me through the research that has been done. During my time having my treatment at City Hospital, I met a lady from Newark called Maria Anderson. And she had a cervical cancer as well, same sort as me. And we went through every treatment session together. We went through every chemo session, every radio every day, and then internal radio at the end. And she also got given the all clear at the final stages. And when you get given the all clear, you have to go back every 3 months for checkups and tests, and then every 6 months, and then every year for 5 years. And after 3 years, I was going into Kingsmill to see the consultant, and she was just on her way out of the hospital by coincidence. And she looked upset, and she was with her daughter-in-law, and she'd just found out hers had come back. And this time it was terminal. And they could extend her life if she had some chemotherapy, but only a short while. And in July this year, she passed away, and the cancer had spread to 5 different places in her body, and she just lost the battle. And the day I found out that she had passed away, I was on the internet, and a post came up on Facebook from British Canoeing calling for canoeists to take part in the Great Canoe Challenge for Stand Up to Cancer. And that's how I got involved in it. I applied. Apparently, I was selected from a large number of people, so that was good. And that's how I ended up sat in a boat with Judge Rinder.
Well, I suppose it's better than doing Strictly Come Dancing with him. We'll talk about that
the canoeing later.
A little bit later. Before the cancer, was you a sporty person?
I was quite fit and healthy. I always do... activity holidays. So I went off to Belize 1 year and did water sports. So we were sea kayaking, kayak surfing, windsurfing, scuba diving, snorkeling, all that sort of thing. And the year before I got diagnosed with cancer, I did 124 miles in a kayak down the River Wye from Glaisby all the way down to Chepstow. We camped out in farmers' fields, pre-arranged with farmers, although the cows weren't too happy. We woke up one morning surrounded by cows in a field, and we didn't want to get out of the tent, but that was fun. So I'd got a little bit of experience from doing things like that, and walking, lots of walking.
They probably wanted to move.
See, I can lower it, other, same as you can.
Other radio stations are available. Yeah,
exactly.
when you're at your low, I mean, it seems to be that you're sporty beforehand. This is a sports programme, so we always sort of go back to sport. What part of the recovery did sport play? Because when you went into this canoe challenge, you're going back to sport, to build your confidence, to prove that you can do it, and to raise some funds.
Yeah, I think during the cancer treatment, it was difficult to do anything. I couldn't even stand up in the shower to take a shower. I had a chair in the shower. When I first had my first oncology appointment, I'd said to the oncologist, I want to do something to raise some funds, like a sponsored walk or a sponsored bike ride or something like that. And she said no. She says, once you start your treatment, you won't even be able to manage a little walk. And what I ended up doing was a sponsored silence, because I talk a lot. And I thought, well, that's one way of raising some funds. And I did. I raised some funds for King's Mill for an MRI scanner. And that was the only way I could do it. So when I came out of the treatment, I'd lost an awful lot of weight. I couldn't eat anything. I was living on like Haribos and ice lollies and Complans. I was trying to get Complan down me, because I just couldn't eat anything, and I was on anti-sickness tablets and steroids to try and make me eat. So when I did finish the treatment, I was very, very frail, and it took a lot of time before I got built up again. But part of my job, part of my work, is we have a pet sitting business, so I do a lot of walking, dog walking. So I gradually built myself up again by taking it a little bit further and a little bit further and a little bit further, but never really got to a stage where I was before the cancer. I kept trying, bought gym equipment, so I got a treadmill, I got a rower, cross-track trainer, exercise bike at home, and, you know, wherever possible I'd get a go on those. But once I found out I was doing this challenge, I was in there for every other day for a couple of hours. And then beginning of this year, I thought, right, this is my 5-year all clear year. I'm going to get that all clear. I was so positive about it, but I wanted to do something. And I decided to sign up to a 5k inflatable run at Newark Showground, which I signed up to in January, February time. And I thought, well, I've never done any running, even before the cancer. I'd never done any running. Couldn't even run for a minute without losing my breath. But I did the Couch to 5k program with the NHS program, and did that over 9 weeks. I kept like losing my place on it and starting back at the beginning again 4 weeks in, and then starting back at the beginning again. But I finally, August Bank Holiday Monday, did the final half an hour run, and then 2 weeks later did the 5k challenge up at Newark, and next year we're going to do the 10k.
Determined young lady. Coming up next, our runner of the week, and then I can't wait, we're coming back to more of the Carla story. Every Thursday at 20 past seven, we announce our Runner of the Week award. And as you know, it's judged by a panel of top Newark athletes. And they scrutinise everything that's gone off in Newark, in the world of running, in the week. And they make their decision, pass it on to me. And I get the lovely pleasure of making the telephone call and saying, Stacey Atkins, you are our Runner of the Week. Good evening, Stacey.
Evening.
You're our Runner of the Week because you came in here the other week when you was doing the Bolton Ironman, and it didn't go well.
No,
It was a bad day at the office, but you came in here, you smiled your way through the interview afterwards, and said you would come back, you would do it again next year, and you would return to form. And you have been doing, but this weekend you did the park run, which you do every Saturday, and you've got your first PB in 3 years, which is absolutely fantastic. So we thought we'd got to speak to you. So what time did you do?
I did 26:36.
And what did that take off the record?
It took off 6 seconds, which doesn't sound a lot, but 6 seconds over 3 miles is quite a bit. And considering the last 3 years, I've been hovering around 27, 28, 30 minutes. It was a good feeling to come back to PB ways.
There's a lovely picture on Facebook of you ringing that bell as well. And as you say, it's
that bell didn't exist last time I got a PB.
It's the feel-good factor, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the first time I've been able to touch that bell. I've watched everyone else do it, and I've never been able to. So, yeah, it was a really good feeling.
And as good as your word when you came into the studio, you said you was going to do that Bolton Ironman again. And you have signed up for it.
I did. I signed up the day it opened. I shall not be beaten. It doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down. It's about how many times you get back up. I can't remember who said that, but it was somebody famous and clever.
It's actually more poignant tonight than what you actually know, because the lady we've got in the studio tonight is a lady called Carla Bradbury, and she suffered the thing that nobody ever wants to get. She suffered cancer. And beat cancer, and she's just
fantastic.
And she's just finished a 100-mile plus canoe run, race, marathon.
Run.
Not run, no, that'd be wrong.
We're experts in race.
to raise funds. And that's exactly what you said, Stacey. I will not be beaten. That's exactly where Carla's coming from tonight. And you've been through a lot this year, which I'm not going into, but the fact is, you will not be beaten, and you're coming back, and you're coming back smiling, and you're coming back running faster. And that's, you know, is absolutely fantastic. What's on the calendar for you between now and Christmas?
Between now and Christmas is Stilton Stumble 10K on Sunday, Worktop Half the following Sunday, Skegness 10K in November, and the Turkey Trot half marathon in December, with just before that my 100th park run, hopefully.
Oh, that's excellent. That will be, we'll have to get the cameras down for that one.
Yeah.
I've got my eye on this Skeggy 10K because not to run it now. it's the bling that you're getting for doing it.
I know, it looks amazing.
It's amazing.
I'm going for the bling and the fish and chips on the beach afterwards.
Right.
In November.
After the 10K, are you going to come in here with the bling?
Yeah, I can do, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. So we'll look forward to that. Stacey, keep smiling, keep running. You are our runner of the week.
Thank you very
fantastic.
Much.
Fantastic. There you go. Lovely. The lovely Stacey Gatlin. Talk to you again soon, Stace.
See you then. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
What's the bling then?
The bling is, you know, they get this. It's a lifeboat. It's RNLI. It's Skegness's new lifeboat. And of course, anything that involves lifeboats gets my attention straight away. The national headlines.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
And as we told you at the top of the show, there is only one national story, and Gordon Strachan has left his job as Scotland manager after nearly 5 years in charge. He was unable to guide the nation to the 2018 World Cup and was due out of contract next month. He says he shared some magical moments with his players. Not many, just a few. Manchester City are 3-0 up. This is the ladies, by the way, as they try to finish off Austrian side St. Poulton in the Women's Champions League this evening. They're aiming for a last 16 place. Chelsea already in the last 16 after beating Bayern Munich, no less. Glasgow City need a big turnaround. They're 3-0 down ahead of hosting a team from Kazakhstan that I can't pronounce, but there you go. Even the Scottish ladies can't do it. Ireland's first ever cricket opponents will be Pakistan, and they face them in May next year. Along with Afghanistan, they have become the 11th and 12th full-time members of the International Cricket Council. The exact date and venue are yet to be confirmed, but Ireland playing full test matches. I wonder if Owen Morgan's going to go back and play for his home country.
Radio Newark Sport, Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
You are sitting next to your wireless listening to Radio Newark Sport with me and him, but more to the point, the wonderful Carla Bradbury. And we've got to the stage now where the treatment, fingers are crossed, and you've got your strength back sufficiently enough to want to do something, to want to say thank you in the only way that you can probably say thank you, for all the people at City Hospital. And we've been ourselves keeping our eye on what's happening, because Rick Lane, the guy, young lad, he's 21, he's had leukemia this year, and he's been in City Hospital, and the whole of Newark Sport are so grateful for the people there. I mean, you've already said they're fantastic. The people there, and you know, if Rick would say exactly the same.
They're lifesavers, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. And they are the real heroes in all this, aren't they, really?
Yeah.
But you're our hero tonight. So,
Because they're not here.
So, you told us a little bit how it begun to sort of take shape. Let's sort of go back to the story.
Where I applied to the canoeing. Okay, so I filled out an application form, sent out my story to apply to be a volunteer for Cancer Research UK and to apply to the Great Canoe Challenge. I then got a phone call to say, are you sure you really want to do this? Are you sure? Are you fit enough to do this? Have you had any training? Have you done anything? And I'm like, well, no, but I can. And I got another phone call to say, we've definitely picked you, we definitely want you to do this, can you come down to Lee Valley in a couple of weeks for a training day and meet some of the people that are taking part? In the meantime, I made arrangements to go up to Newark Canoe Club up at Thirlby Lake. They have a session on a Sunday afternoon, 2 till 4, and I met some great people up there.
They're good people up there.
And I had some instruction from Rob, one of their instructors, who took me out in a Canadian canoe that I'd not been in before, well, I'd probably been in once before, and he showed me a few strokes and I got to practice, and I went up there for a couple of sessions.
Because your before sport was kayaking.
Yeah.
Now, my limited knowledge of all this, everybody will say, well, kayak and canoe, it's the same, but I've seen them off the coast in Cornwall. They are not the same.
No, and kayaks, there's lots of different kayaks as well. I have a day boat kayak, closed cockpit, so you have a spray deck on there, so you're enclosed in it, and you have a paddle that's got a blade on either end, and you can sit comfortably, and you can control where you're going, and everything, your speed, your direction, you're in charge. And you often, we've got a skeg on the back, so that drops down and it helps you with your steering and everything. In a Canadian canoe, especially with the challenge, there was two people in the boat at any one time. One at the front was the engine powering the boat, and the one at the back was steering. But the one at the back always had to be the heaviest. And I'm not lightweight, but I wasn't always the heaviest. I think there was only one day that I was the heaviest and allowed to sit in the back of the boat, which was tough. So the most of the time I was sat up at the front, and you're doing the same stroke over and over and over again so some days we were on the water 11 hours during the marathon. So
that's probably talk a bit in a few minutes, but that's got to affect, if you're doing that same stroke, it's you're using the same muscles on the same side of your body all the time.
Yeah. Got new muscles now, muscles I didn't even know existed.
What preparations you knew that was coming, because you've done this before.
Yeah.
What preparations could you do before?
Well, they said, like, go to the gym, try and do as much as you can early. I looked to buy a second-hand canoe at one point, and I just didn't have time to actually get on the water anyway, so I didn't get one. But I'd got a rowing machine, and I've got a treadmill, and I've got a cross-track trainer. So every other day I was doing 2.5 hours every other day in the gym on those, trying to build myself up. I lost over half a stone in 2 weeks in the run-up to doing the challenge, and I got some muscles, I got toned up, and I felt really fit and healthy. And first day was fine, second day was fine, third day was okay, and I started to get pains. We had physio every day. Thursday was tough. Thursday was my toughest day. I had 4 lots of physio just to get me through the day.
I've got a note that says physio, and I will come back to that one, because I
The story that you was telling us out there has got to be relayed on here. It really has. So, let's get to day one, morning one.
Day one, morning one. I think we had... we were up every morning at 5:30, breakfast.
That's night time.
5:30. Breakfast straight out to the boats on the water.
Whereabouts?
That was Chester. Started in Chester.
Right.
Yeah, we started in Chester, paddled through Manchester and ended up in Liverpool. And so on the first day we did 26 miles, but we had to carry the boats around 18 locks that day. I was thinking it was more, yeah, 18 locks. And so you get down onto the water, you get into the boats. We had to do a few interviews and photographs and things like that. Get in the boat with a celebrity. And then that was it. You were on the water. We had a break mid-morning, a break at lunchtime, break mid-afternoon, and then we ended up... the last quarter, we were always trying to get back before the sunset. So it's starting to get dark, and you always put an extra bit of effort in if you could for that quarter.
These are 12-hour days,
though. Yeah, it was tough. Yeah. The portaging around the locks was the hardest, because you're getting out of the boat, you're having to lift the boat out of the water, you're having to carry it. We ended up trying to get four people to carry the boats rather than two, because they were so heavy. And the last five locks, we were practically dragging the boats, because his arms were down to his ankles trying to carry these boats. But the best thing was, we got to meet lots of different people. There were four of us that did the challenge the whole length. Four cancer survivors. One was breast cancer, one was testicular cancer, and one, it was a gentleman whose son had leukemia. He was given 24 hours to live, his son, and he pulled through. So the four of us made the team. And then, like I say, we got a different celebrity each day. I think one day I had three different people in the boat with me.
Just go back to the four of you.
Yes.
Have you bonded with the...
Yeah, we're a little family now, yeah, definitely. We're in touch every day. We've got our own little WhatsApp group, and we're just messaging each other all the time. And there's talk definitely of us doing something again together, hopefully for Stand Up To Cancer. But they refuse to go anywhere near water.
But of course, you're happiest on water.
Yeah, I've suggested quite a few things. Something came up to do a 3,000-mile row across the Atlantic, and I mentioned that in there, and I got a lot of abusive comments back on that one.
Yeah, I'm not sure with my affiliation to lifeboats, I'm not really sure that.
No.
On the plus side, you get eight big Cornish lifeboatmen coming out after you. There's a plus side to everything.
Yeah, so the other thing they were talking about there was some sort of Himalayan walking things, like I don't know, Kilimanjaro or something like that. I'm not sure. Maybe something smaller to start with and then work up to that, but we'll see.
So, your celebrities.
Yes.
Who was they, and did they join in, or was they sort of doing it because they felt they had to do it, or...?
Well, initially, the idea was that we were supported by different celebrities. They were all lovely people, they were all great people, they were really nice, really friendly, and all doing it for various reasons. They'd all got history with cancer of some sort. But some of them were really, really difficult. They'd not seen a canoe, they'd not even had a paddle in the hands. You'd get on the water in the morning and they'd get in the boat and they'd go, "Oh, what's this? How do I use it?" And you'd be like, "Oh no, it's going to be tough this morning." But the first day was great. I had Judge Rinder all day for the first day, and he made the day go so fast because he's just so funny. He had me in hysterics. And the nicest thing with him is he said that I had him in hysterics too. He said he'd never spoken to anybody about cancer treatment and been laughing so much about it. But we had him and Anthea Turner. Anthea Turner was in one of the other boats, and between the banter between the two of them was just brilliant, and it got us through the day. And he kept in touch all week as well. He messaged me every day to ask how I'd got on and who I'd been in the boats with and was he still the best. and of course, yes. and at the end, I became one of the an honorary Rinderette. I'm now a part of his official fan club. And he sent one of the Rinderettes came along to the finishing line at the end with a big bunch of flowers from him. So that was nice.
I mean, that's lovely, isn't it? Because you get so many celebrities who do it because their agent says they've got to turn up that morning, then you get the others that just go that little bit further and prove they've got a heart and they are interested.
Yeah, each of them had. I mean, Judge Rinder's uncle had cancer. I was with Tiger Honeydrew, I've outnumbered, on the Tuesday morning, who was... He was a lovely, lovely chap, and his dad, unfortunately, he's got he had skin cancer. He's now got bladder cancer, and we spent a lot of time talking about that with him. But he was terrible at steering, and I ended up in the brambles. I came out, I've got blood dripping down my arms from being scratched by brambles. We were zigzagging here. I definitely did more than 120 miles. The next day I had Nikki Tapper from Gogglebox, and it took us, I was in the boat for 10 miles with her, and it took us 8 miles before we got the steering right. We had a headwind, so we were left, and then we were right, and then we were left, and then we were right, and we were at the back all the way. And then we got to 10 miles and they put her in a boat with somebody else, so we just cracked it at that point. We just got it, and then we had to swap boats. I can't remember who I ended. Oh, I had Mike Toulon from Key 103 Radio in the afternoon. And then on Thursday, I had Nick Snaith from Magic FM, and we had to do 28 miles that day, and so many locks, can't remember how many locks. And that was my lowest day. I cried a lot that day, and I had a problem with my shoulder, knots in my shoulder, and I kept having to have physio on my shoulder. And then Friday, I was with a young girl called Alice Barlow from Hollyoaks in the morning, and then Dom Lever from Love Island, who was great because he bought the music. He had a brand new iPhone, and he says, "Oh, let's play some tunes." And I'm like, "Oh, you'll drain your battery. I wouldn't bother. Everybody's has problems trying to play music." He's like, no, it's a new phone. It's a new phone. It's got a great battery on it." And he played Motown, and he just threw this brand new phone in the bottom of the boat, which was full of water and mud. Just threw this, and it was brilliant, because this music just played out and we got into a rhythm and we were ahead, and it was just because it was the last day, it was just brilliant. And then for the last 2 miles, they put the four of us in two boats together to cross the finish line, and that was a bit emotional.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, do you know what the four of you raised, or what was the figure?
Yeah, I've not had a latest update, I've been asking, but by the Friday when we'd finished, we'd raised £226,000.
Over how much?
£226,000. And money's still coming in.
We don't do this very often, Tony. That is amazing.
It's totally amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
Wow. Yeah, we're hoping, I've got my fingers crossed, we'll get £250,000, because this stuff's still going out. There's still ways to donate. If any of your listeners want to donate, the easiest way is to text canoe5 for £5 or canoe10 for £10 to 70404, or go onto the Stand Up To Cancer website, and there's a link on there to the canoe challenge, and people can donate there. But we've definitely got to get up to £250,000.
I will ask Carla to message me all that again later on, and I'll put it on our Facebook.
Thank you.
Pages.
Brilliant. Thank you.
As well. Physio.
Especially the bit where he tried to pull your head off.
Yeah.
the week started quite good, and I'm very good at this, and I'm all right, and then it started to ache a little bit. I mean, the fact that you actually did it is just tremendous.
Yeah.
But when you started aching...
Yeah.
Was there any, I can't do this anymore, or had you got it into your mind, I am going to do this?
No, I was determined. I'm definitely going to do it. Even if I have to get out and swim and push the boat, I'm definitely going to do this. If I say I'm going to do something, I'll do it. And that was my motto all the way through. I'm going to do this. My neighbour's wife, who passed away in May, in my mind, and my friend that passed away in July, in my mind, and I was doing it for them. And every time I got to a low point, I just thought of them, and I thought, why am I doing this? This is why I'm doing it, so people like them would still be here if they were that cancer research pulls off. So I was thinking about them all the time. But the physio, oh my. I had physio Monday and Tuesday night after spending the day on the water, and I was screaming in pain. And by Wednesday, I thought, I'm not having it. I'm not doing it tonight. I'm not having any physio tonight. So I never had any physio. But Thursday morning, I woke up and I was hurting. And I cried and I cried. And I sat at breakfast with my Weetabix. And I got all these people around me, and they're all like, "You'll be all right. You'll be all right." And I'm like, "I'm not getting back on that water. I don't want to do it no more." But I did. I got back in the boat. And once you're in the boat, it's like getting on a bike. And you just automatically fall into that position, and you just start paddling. And it's like, yeah, I can do this. And I got back into it. But I had physio that morning. I had to have bandages on my hands as well, because I got blisters that were quite big. So I was having them changed morning and lunch. every day. But Thursday, I had physio in the morning, physio morning break, physio at lunchtime that was really painful, and he definitely did try to pull my head off. He was pushing my head all the way across to my shoulder, both sides, and then he was pushing it up so my chin was on my chest and it was curling my back, and then he'd drop my head off the end of the table and pull it as hard as he could. And he's doing all that. But my shoulder was the worst because this knot kept coming back. So we were walking around one of the locks, taking the boats around one of the locks, and the doctor medic who was with us on the boats as a safety crew, he said, right, I'll try and get this for you. And he says, yeah, it's breaking up. And I was screaming in agony as he's like got his thumbs and he's pushing and pushing and pushing and prodding at this lump in my shoulder. But he got it out. And that was the best bit of physio I'd had, I think, because I managed to do more than 2 miles before it popped back out again. That was the really tough day. And then, of course, it was Friday. I had physio again Thursday night. And then Friday, I thought, yeah, you know, we're on a winning streak now. I only had 21 miles on Friday. We knew we were going to do it. But one of the other guys had to have a drip. David had to have a drip on Friday morning. He was dehydrated and he needed a drip. One of the other girl, Helen, she was quite sick. And Jag had a problem with his shoulder. He had to have his shoulder strapped up and he had to have some drugs. So out of all of us, I mean, they were quite fit. I think I felt like I was the least fit. But out of all of us, I had the least problems, so that was good.
When you got back home then and sort of sat back on the easy chair with a big glass of red wine.
Champagne.
That's
the spirit. glass.
Thinking, this is okay, I don't hurt. But then the next morning and the morning after that...
It was about a week later. I think I was still on the adrenaline. The adrenaline kept me going all week for definite. And then I had my appointment at the hospital on the Monday, so I was still on a bit of a high going into that. Came out of that feeling absolutely fantastic, because that's it now, no more hospital. I've got that final all clear. I am no longer a cancer patient, which is just fantastic news.
Well done.
More champagne. And more champagne. And then it wasn't until sort of the end of that week that I started to get aches and pains.
Probably a hangover.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
You can tell you all about them.
I've never had a hangover in my side. Not like this. It wasn't kidneys. It's these new muscles that I've got. And it started at the bottom of my rib cage, and then it worked up to like under my armpit sort of area, and then now it's moved around onto my shoulder blade and all under my shoulder blade. So I'm not that great with knowing what to do with these sorts of things. So I've been putting like heat patches and things on, and somebody suggested I perhaps put something cold on. I'm not sure. I might have a go at that, see if that works. But I've got a physio near work that I'm going to get in touch with next week.
We also know a young lady that will help. I'll give you a phone number after this. Becky Gallup. I'm sure will be off to help you.
I actually sounded my horn to Becky on Beacon Hill this afternoon. And she didn't recognise me, but she gave me a very dirty look.
Well, I'm not surprised. This is a young lady that runs marathons for fun.
Right.
But she's now started her own business. So anyway, we'll chat about that one a little bit later on. It's time that we looked at next week, because last week was a bit mixed, Tony. The rugby was called off. Flowsave and Newark Town both lost. The Hockey Ladies managed to throw away 2 points. But on the plus side, Bailey Sugden won and Flo Lisherman finished fourth in the National Cycling. What's happening this weekend? It's nearly time to find out. Massive weekend in Newark Sport to come up. I can't remember one that's been as busy for an awful long time, so let me get started. Friday night, Central Midlands football at Station Road when Collingham take on Newark in a local derby, which could be a lot against not many, but you never know. You never know in a derby. Saturday morning, it's the primary school's autumn football tournament at Lowfields Radio. Newark's going to be there at that one. That is not to be missed. Athletics, the North Midlands Cross Country League Round 1 at Derby, featuring our very own Amber Owens, plus numerous more from Newark Athletic Club. Hockey, Leicester Westerly play the Newark men, while the ladies go to Derby. You know what's expected, ladies, going to that place. You know what you've got to do. Football, Flowsave at home to Gedlin Southbank, and rugby, Newark are at home to Loughborough. What are you shaking your head at?
Flowsave aren't on to Gedlin Southbank.
Why?
It's actually a cup match away that's been brought in.
Nobody tells me anything. Flowsave away in a cup match.
Who?
I'm not sure.
Rubbish.
Right. So there's no football on Saturday afternoon in Newark. I'm going to the rugby in any case, even if there was. Saturday evening, swimming. It's the Newark Swimming Club's Age Group Championships. That takes us into Sunday. If that wasn't busy enough, here we go again. In the morning at the Grove, 11 o'clock, it's the Notts Mini League. If you've got an hour, come down to see it, because these youngsters give everything they've got in that, in those cross countries. There's eight races. They really give everything they have. Then we move into the afternoon. FA Cup football. Only one team in Newark, Saturday or Sunday, plays in a national competition, and that is RHP. They're at home to Oad Bay from Leicestershire in the first round of the Sunday FA Cup. That one's at Lowfield. It's a 2 o'clock
kick-off.
We're a 2 o'clock kickoff. So I don't care who you support in football, this Sunday afternoon you support RHP because they are representing Newark. Simple as that.
To right.
Also at 2 o'clock over at Kellam Road, the rugby under 18 girls start their campaign in the national championships. It's a round robin group. I've got them down as Melbourne, but it could be Doddington. It's one or the other. They're certainly at home, and they're certainly going to win because the Newark under 18 girls are fantastic. I'm sending Tony to the football. That means I can go and watch the girls play rugby. That's that sorted. It's the Leicester half marathon this Sunday, and as Stacey told you, because that's where Stacey's going, it's the Stilton Stumble this Sunday. That's some wonderful, great names, the Ponton Plod and the Stilton Stumble. I mean, fantastic. I think they're fantastic. So whatever you're doing this weekend, you've got no excuse not to go and watch some sport if you're not partaking in it. Me, you'll catch me Friday night at Station Road, Saturday morning at Lowfield, Saturday afternoon at Kellam Road, Saturday evening at the Sports Centre, Sunday morning at the Grove, Sunday afternoon at Kellam Road, and I might get to see her indoors by Sunday evening if I'm very lucky.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, Sharon. You've just got to ruin Sunday evening then.
But this is what local sport's all about this weekend. One of the big weekends, and we're going to talk about this all next week.
Saturday I'll be away at somewhere with Flowserve.
Yeah, somewhere FC.
And then as chairman of my beloved RHP, I can't wait for Sunday.
No, that's where you should, that's where you should be, and you know, we do wish them the best luck. And it is also away from local football, it's the FA Cup fourth qualifying round.
Oh, who've we got?
This weekend. It's on another sheet somewhere.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Just talk amongst yourselves for 5 minutes. I picked some ties out that I thought was good. After this round, the league clubs join. Yeah? So, it's a big one to win, isn't it?
You've got Kiddie, haven't you?
Yes, I've got Kiddie. Anyway, the ones I've picked out, FC Halifax Town against Tranmere Rovers. Halifax against Tranmere? That should be a league fixture, something it was for years. It
used to be.
South Shields against Hartlepool. Wow, I mean, that's going to be an absolute cracker. Forget the football on that one. Shore Lane against Barrow. Shore Lane atop of the Northeastern Counties League, taking all before them this season. Barrow, big club in non-league football. Chorley's playing Boston. Harrogate's playing Gainsborough Trinity. We'll keep an eye on Gainsborough, of course. Nantwich, your mob, and now a little competition we're having, to play in Kettering. Kidderminster at home to Chester. Scarborough, that you like to keep an eye on, they're playing Hyde United.
Ooh.
Dagenham and Redbridge are playing Leighton Orient, and Aldershot are playing Torquay. This is non-league football we're talking about. You wouldn't think so, would you? And the big match, the really, really big match, is Hampton and Richmond Borough against Truro City. But the price for all of them is a game against Mansfield or Notts County.
First
or
round proper.
Portsmouth or, yeah, or Lincoln now. Lincoln's not involved yet.
I wonder what the financial reward is for a win on Saturday.
Don't ask the questions that I've not got the answer to.
Yeah, do all your research and what happens.
Exactly, some fool asks you a question. Carla, so you're back, you've had a rest, you've drunk copious amounts of champagne. What's next on your agenda then?
One of the boats that I canoed in for the 120 odd miles the other week, it's got my name on it, I'm buying it, and next year I'm planning to do the Caledonian Canal probably.
Ooh, lovely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Was looking to do it in July, but I've heard the midges and the mozzies are at the height at that time of year, so maybe pull it forward to May or push it back to September, I'm not sure yet. But there's also a 100-mile paddle on the Trent that finishes at Newark, wanting to try and fit that in somewhere next year if I can. And definitely going to do some more running as well. Try and get some more running in. I like the medals. I heard you talking to Stacey about the bling.
You've got
I've only
bling.
Got one. I've got to get more. So, yeah, I'm going to start doing park runs where I can. I've already signed up to that. So I'm going to do some park runs and do some running. And hopefully, I'm even looking at Great North Run next year. Not sure. So we'll see. That watch this space. And it'll all be for charity as well.
Well, the Caledonian Canal does sound... Mm. I'm not allowed sort of anywhere north of Berwick because of what I say about them is he's got border control out.
If you need someone heavy in the back, you know, I think I'm your man.
Heavy, the kayak be sitting upright.
Now I need to reach the water at the front.
You should at least have a longer paddle.
All right, you won't be coming on again.
Definitely go up to Newark Canoe Club and have a go. Definitely have
Filby
a go.
Filby Lake, it is.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
They are good people.
And you can have a go in any boat. They've got the play boats, they've got day boats, they've got canoes, they've got stand-up paddle boards, they've got a little ramp that they can push you down and they can capsize you.
I was all right until somebody mentioned water as well. I could sit in a kayak, not a problem. And then they said water.
I'd get wedged.
No, it's really, really good fun. It's worth a trip up there, definitely.
Carla, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been a brilliant hour and it's gone that quick. I'm going to make you promise to tell us when you're going up to the Caledonian and if you do the Trent one. If you do the Trent one, I'm going to send people out to with the old microphones and we can keep up with you. Now we find you, there's absolutely no way we're going to let you go.
Yeah, they definitely really keep isn't. In touch.
Stand Up for Cancer.
Yeah.
This is the charity you did it for. Just a couple of minutes.
Stand Up for Cancer, a Channel 4 charity that's linked into Cancer Research UK. And what they do is... every single penny raised through any of the activities that have done through Stand Up to Cancer, 100% of the funds go into cancer research, which is what drew me in from the start. It's just amazing what they do. Everything on that challenge that we did last week were all from sponsors. Everything was from sponsors. The canoes were made by a British company and provided free for the use during the week. All our kit was provided for. We'd got free water and chocolate bars and things that were thrown at us, Lucozade and stuff that was thrown at us on the boats during the day to keep us going. The staff, that all volunteers, everybody, they were just fantastic. We had a safety crew, we had an event crew, and then we had media crew, which were a little bit... hard work sometimes when you're paddling your socks off and all of a sudden there's a camera stopping you from going any further.
Not all media is nice as us two.
No, but yeah, Stand Up to Cancer is just fantastic. And it's Stand Up to Cancer month this month, October, so there's loads of things happening all over the place. So keep an eye out on TV for that.
Absolutely brilliant. And that, as they say, ends this week on Radio Newark Sport. It's been another absolutely classic week. And next week, for your delight... I have got lined up Matt Sneeze coming back on Monday to join us as we do our roundup, but also talk about sports awards. Louise Davis is coming in on Tuesday. She's our show jumper from the Newark Academy. Her national championships is coming up next weekend. John Wells, the great rugby player, is joining us next Wednesday night.
Excellent.
How good is
Excellent.
That? Matt Ridyard is coming in on Thursday night to talk all things Forest. You'll enjoy that, won't you? But from Carla, from Tony, and from me, bye bye. We love Newark.